From the Land de Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 16th day of June, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes of Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. And we'll take a broad look at what's been happening in the weather forecast, too. That with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated, all on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org, willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn at $6.73 today, 5.5 cents higher. September at $5.88.5, down 3.25. And the December at $5.72.5, a penny and a quarter lower. July beans at $14.42.5, down 17.25. The August at $13.96.25, 24 lower on their close. And November at $13.38.5, close 30.25 lower. Wheat futures for the day, July contract at $6.62.75, a penny and a quarter higher for the harvest month. Hard red winter wheat, that's its settlement price for the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby contract at $124.92.5, $1.02.5 higher. Feeders were up 87.5 cents at $157.70, and lean hogs at $111.70, down the $3 limit for the day. Crude oil futures at $71.89 a barrel, down 23 cents. The price of diesel fuel or heating oil at $2.10, that's about a penny and a tenth lower on the day. And ethanol futures at $2.46, unchanged on this Wednesday afternoon. Jackie Vakes now joins us from TotalFarmMarketing.com out of Hollister, Missouri. Hi, Jackie. Thanks for being with us today. Let's get straight into this. Start with some of the basics, support and resistance levels to begin with.
This is the last week I'll be using July for corn or beans, but July 663 for support, 689 resistance, 899 crossover. September 579, 643, 727 crossover. December 561, 595, and a crossover at 665. We look at beans in July, 1376, 1460, crossovers at 1555. August, 1403, 1550, and 1665 for a crossover. November, 1307, 1461, crossover at 1524. Gold continues to be within the reverse pennant, 1823, 1921. Dow Jones, no change really from last week, 31,661 support, 35,091 resistance, crossovers at 36,475. And the dollar continues to trade in that range between support of 88,25 and 91,73.
What's managed money look like?
Well, I'm still continuing to have a hard time getting the information on managed money, so I'm just going to give you the fund position changes, and perhaps that will, you know, that helps us a little bit in terms of being able to see what's actually going on. And what we've seen the funds do is, since last week Thursday, they've just been shedding positions on corn, on beans. Actually, they were shedding positions on beans already since last week Wednesday. Wheat, they started shedding on Friday. And soy meal, they actually added on Friday, but then dropped a bunch on yesterday. And today and Monday, Monday and Tuesday. And soy oil, they've just been shedding soy oil like crazy. And that just continues to go on. So the fund, it's really obvious, Todd, when you look at the trade, that this trade is not a good reflection of what's going on out in the field. And these are the things we struggle with when we're trying to market grain, because there are so many cogs in the wheel. And unfortunately, there are times that, you know, what we see on the board doesn't necessarily reflect the end. But I was told by my boss, who has been in this for a long, long time, when I first started, and he said, remember one thing, when you're looking at fundamentals start the day the contract starts, and fundamentals end the day the contract ends, and everything else in between is going to be technicals and how technicals affect things. And, you know, since we have the black boxes involved, you know, because they're very systematic in the way that they do things, it just makes it difficult to look at the board, see what's going on, know what's going on in the field, but recognizing that at some point, if you look back into 2012, we turned the corner on the 18th of June, and she just took off and went from there. And so are we going to be fortunate enough to have that happen this week? Well, I guess we'll see. But the weather forecast, you know, and it's weather, weather, weather all the way around, just continues to support the idea that we're going to move higher. And I'll get into that a little bit further down. Export inspections. Wheat exports are running 16% behind a year ago. They were 46% last week, so they've picked up. Corn 75 ahead of a year ago, same as they were last week. Soybeans 57%. Last week they were up 58%. And when I look at the markets, Todd, you know, as the weather churns, you know, I mean, you hear people saying, well, you know, it's all about the weather forecast is going to get cooler 10 or 11 days out from now. Well, what's happening right now is what's a great deal more important. So, you know, to me, it forces people into margin liquidation, all of those kinds of things. And, you know, there's this isn't about weather. The Gulf basis is strong, 73 cents over July for the corn. Farmers are selling because of the aren't selling because of the price drop. NOPA crush did come in below the estimates, which spurred on some of the selling. But basically, that was mostly due to the processing plants that were, you know, down for the time. And we saw corn take a little bit of a bump today and then fall back. And it's all over the place. Once we got the ethanol update out, we actually saw production was down 42 million barrels or compared to last week, 42,000 barrels a day, excuse me. Their weekly production was down 12 million gallons. But if you look at the overall picture, okay, production at 1,025,000 barrels, basically we only need 1,003,000 barrels to meet the average for the USDA estimate for the year. So we're still running at a good pace.
At the end of the month, we have an acreage figure that's due out, also the grain stocks coming. What do you think of those two reports and their potential impact?
Well, I'll tell you what. When you look at the grain stocks report, in my mind, in my experience, that is by far the most important report. You know, when you look at acreage is, of course, yield-driven. And I do expect that we're probably going to see a yield change because we didn't see anything on the report this month, which isn't a surprise. They don't normally do that. But when you look at the overall picture, my goodness, you know, back in 2012, we ended up with ending stocks of 819 million plus. We're currently projected at 1.357 billion. So that's 537 and a half million bushels more that we would need to drop to get to the 2012 levels. Well, I look at the difference that we've got just in exports alone on corn, 400 million they have us projected at less than last year, 400 million. Now, we have to take into account that if we do pick up a lot of acreage and if we don't drop the yield enough to make up the difference, well, those numbers are going to change. But that's the biggest thing that we're seeing is just that the trade is really nervous about what's going to happen. I mean, when you have some people coming out at 95.7 million acres of corn, wow. And on the opposite side, coming out with less bean acres, and yet beans have been getting brutalized like crazy. It's a difficult one, but I think that, well, this is how I'll summarize it. Boy, I can't wait for that day to be over so we can move on and have a much better idea of where we're going.
What'd you think of this week's crop conditions ratings?
Wow. All I can say is, in my mind, they were pretty brutal. You know, I looked at, if you looked at Minnesota as an example, it's at 58% right now, good to excellent. Last year, we were at 84. Iowa, 63. We were at 83 last year. Missouri, 56, 63 last year. Illinois is at 68. Last year, we were at 63. So that was one of the poorer situations. And Wisconsin, 71 versus 82 last year. So some very significant things. And overall, you know, down four points. Dr. Cordonnier started to publish his trend line comparisons. And so if we look at states below trend line, we've got 21% of the acreage there, South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, Michigan, not a big surprise. At trend line, 25.7%. Colorado, Iowa, only a trend line. Missouri, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. And then above trend line, 44.3. And basically, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Nebraska, North Carolina, Ohio, Texas, and Tennessee are the ones that make up that group. But that's less than 50% of all the acres that are above trend line. So it would say to me that we are going to probably see an adjustment coming. Now, when you look at beans, similar situation, you know, Minnesota 61 this year, 84 last year, Iowa 61, 82 last year, Wisconsin 65 versus 85, Illinois 63 versus 64 last year. Illinois took a 10-point drop. That's just almost unbelievable. And I read a blurb this morning, Todd, and you can fill me in on it more if you've heard about it, but that there are a lot of farmers who are getting very concerned because it is getting extremely droughty up in the Chicago and moving south type area. And so we'll have to see. On Dr. Cordonnier, 26% are in the below trend line. Again, the same states, Michigan, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, 37% at trend line, Illinois, Iowa, Mississippi, Missouri, North Carolina, Wisconsin, all at trend line, 32.7 above trend line, Arkansas, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Nebraska, Ohio, and Tennessee. And so, you know, there's a lot of acres that are just sitting on the edge. And so it's going to be interesting to watch as we move forward. To me, I look at what the weather's doing right now. You know, we're determining rows at this point in time on corn. Wow. There's some brutal weather out there in terms of that. So we'll see.
Anything from Brazil this week that you want to highlight?
Well, I think that, you know, it's a little bit more in-depth on what Conab, you know, that they dropped to 10.1 million metric tons. And, you know, last week we talked about that late start to planting beans again in Brazil that's going on right now. So a lot of the Safrinha corn really has had a tough time because of moisture stress due to, you know, well, we've had one of the driest periods in Brazil over 90 years, but it also had tons of problems because it was planted too late because of the delay in the soybean harvest, it had the dry weather, and they even had frost damage. So, you know, we're almost looking like we're setting up for another year like that down in Brazil. And, you know, they're headed into their soy-free period, and I was just amazed. I couldn't believe how many of the volunteer beans actually sprouted down there in consideration of what the weather's been. And so they're going to have a really, really hard time. I've got some pictures of a field that just had lots and lots and lots of bean plants in them. I don't know how they plan on getting rid of them before the 15th, which was yesterday. You know, and so if they don't get rid of them, they get fined very, very, very heavily. And that's one of the ways that they control the spread of rust, because rust can only live for about 60 days on a plant without any plant. And so that's one of the things they've enacted over the years. Argentina down there, wow. I'll just make it short and quick. Struggling with water levels, no end in sight. That's really what it comes down to. And how about if I pop back up to China, Todd? Do you think that sounds all right?
Sure.
We've been all following the China herd. Well, they came out today and said that the herd is up 23.5% in May versus last year. This is coming out of their state media. And, you know, that's very encouraging. It increased 19.3% during the same year. And so they're at 98.4% of the stocks that they were at the end of 2017. That's pretty impressive, you know, but their herd produces half of all the pork consumed globally. Of course, a lot of their people eat a lot of pork, and they have a huge population. But that plunged 40% from Asian or African swine fever. And so they are now, you know, they've just poured billions of yuan trying to get these farms to go. Well, now what's happening is the NDRC, which is their state-run warning system that monitors hog prices so that they can control hog production, blah, 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 came out and issued a warning. Prices for hogs are down 60% since January, which is the lowest in 2 years. And when you look at the bigger picture, they came in and said, you know, they were really caught by surprise. They're not even fully recovered, number one, and they're blaming the farmer. They're saying the plunge in prices is because the farmers sending heavy pigs to slaughter, and they've increased the pork imports, and of course seasonal demand is down at this particular time too. But they Pam Chenong from Rabobank said that the farmers really are unlikely to respond to government advice to hold on to pigs, with a supply shortage of live hogs in the second half now very, very likely. And there's panic. There's just no question about it. These markets just keep falling. In fact, since this report was put out this morning, their ratio, when they put out the warning, it was a 6-to-1 ratio between hogs and feed prices. And it's dropped to 5-to-1 now, which is really a terrible situation. So, you know, they'll address the early warning system again next week. But in this particular situation, Todd, they didn't talk at all about starting to purchase pork, you know, from the market to try and shore up the prices, which is, it would be their typical thing that they do. So interesting, interesting, interesting.
Indeed. Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yep. Have a great one. Thank you.
You too. That's Jackie Vick. She is with TotalFarmMarketing.com out of Hollister, Missouri. On this Wednesday, let's check the weather forecast with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated. That's worldweather.cc online out of Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Drew. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's mid-June already. Can you believe it?
It is mid-June. Farmers are all in on dry conditions because that's what they see across a good portion of the Corn Belt. It looks like there's a lot of rainfall in the offing. Can you tell me about the next week or so?
Yeah. You know, first of all, we do have very low topsoil moisture today, extending from a big part of Missouri and Illinois and southern Wisconsin all the way back to the Dakotas and Minnesota. Pretty impressive dryness, actually, in some of those areas. So rain now is really, really important. Now, subsoil moisture is not quite so bad in that same region. So if we can get a decent rain to occur fairly quickly, we'll be able to buy some time for the crops. And that's what is supposed to be happening. We've got a change in weather. You know, we've had all the heat in the plains and western Corn Belt here recently. It's going to still be hot for the next 2 or 3 days. But as we break down the ridge and bring cooler air southward out of Canada, there is just enough moisture around in the atmosphere to help to stimulate a few thunderstorms of significance as we go forward in time. Now, we have that tropical disturbance down in the Gulf of Mexico that's going to head for the Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama coastal areas there. And that's going to do a couple of things. One, it's going to slow down the progression of the frontal system in the lower parts of the Midwest, which may help to enhance some rainfall across that area. And it may also help to slow down a reinforcing shot of cool air that's supposed to come in later in the weekend, early next week. So we will allow for two waves of precipitation to impact the Midwest. Now, when I stop and look at the two waves and put the rains together for both events, I see a nice improvement in topsoil moisture coming up for the eastern half of Iowa, maybe the southeastern corner of Minnesota, southern Wisconsin, and then from there into parts of Indiana and Ohio. So in that area, we'll probably see a nice bit of relief to the dryness that's out there. Farther to the northwest, well, we may get a little bit of shower activity, but I'm not convinced we're going to see enough of it to really change the bottom line for moisture in the eastern Dakotas and parts of Minnesota. I think we'll pick up on maybe a quarter to three quarters of an inch of rain there. Some short-term benefit, obviously, but we're going to need follow-up rain. For that area that I thought would be wetter, we could see some 1 to 2 inch plus amounts of rain occurring in some of that region. So definite relief coming in for the heart of the Midwest, a little questionable though about the Northwest. And if you have any interest in the far west part of the Corn Belt, down the Missouri Valley, that area is not going to see large volumes of rain either, but they may get enough to hold its status quo.
What do you see south of Interstate 80 in Illinois and Indiana?
Yeah, there will be rain there too. I don't think it's going to be quite as substantial. So we'll probably see amounts of a half inch to an inch and maybe see some few amounts of 1 to 1.5 inches. So it's not bad. It's not bad, but I don't think we're going to see high volumes of the heavier amounts in this particular two-wave event. We'll have to see what happens as we go into the second week of the outlook. And right now, I would say we're probably going to see a little more rain, but we'll have some days of drying that occur between the first and the second set of rainfall. So we probably won't make a lot of new headway towards moistening up the south in a more dramatic way.
One of the important things that will need to happen after the rainfall is for the wind not to blow very hard and for temperatures not to be real high, because evaporation becomes a problem when you just don't have that much moisture in the topsoil level or areas.
That's right. That's right. And we do expect around the 1st of July, that we will probably have a ridge of high pressure building back up across the plains, at least, if not into the western fringe of the Corn Belt. So when we get to that point in time, we'll be looking for a little trend change. I think the midday models today weren't going down that road, but they should be. I don't think that we'll see this cool weather last much longer than the last few days in June. So we will see the warmer weather come along, and we'll shift the rains farther to the north and eventually out of the western Corn Belt almost entirely as we get into early July. So we'll have to put a lot of money down on what little rain we may see here in the next 10 days or so.
What's wheat harvest look like in the Plain States?
Not bad. Not bad. Their topsoil has also dried down quite a bit. And we've had a lot of warm weather out there and restricted rainfall for a while now. And it's going to be in the 90s to over 100 degrees today and tomorrow in the heart of hard red winter wheat country. And the southern plains will probably see one more day of heat and dryness after that. They won't get involved with nearly as much of the rain that we'll see in the Midwest. So the harvest should go pretty much like lightning, I would think. I don't expect to see any trouble out that way.
And I know this is a broad area, but roughly speaking, Europe to Asia down to Australia, what's it look like?
Yeah, most of Europe, including the western parts of the former Soviet Union, are in pretty darn good shape. We do have a little drying that's occurred this past week, but we also have rain in the forecast for the coming week, so no problems there. We're still seeing a large part of China in really good shape. They got a little dry here the past couple of weeks, which was supportive of their wheat harvest and some aggressive late season planting of coarse grains and oilseeds. And now it's raining again. So China's in pretty good shape there. Australia is finally getting a better mix of weather too. And the wheat, barley, and canola that's being planted is having a really good opportunity here for improvement to occur in soil moisture. And so crop emergence and establishment will improve. Back in some of the Central Asian crop areas, including Russia's New Lands region, which is a relatively important spring wheat and sunseed producing areas, they have had some dryness issues throughout the spring and the first days or in summer. But it looks like this coming week, there's going to be some cooler and wetter weather coming into that particular region. It should offer some relief. So it's really all about North America right now.
Hey, thank you, Drew.
You bet. Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Find him online at worldweather.cc. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.